Good morning. You have just tuned in to the Sunday School Teacher, which is an outreach ministry of Applying the Word Ministries of LaGrange, Georgia. To find out more about us, you may visit us at www.applyingtheword-ga.org or just simply write us at P.O. Box 1075, LaGrange, Georgia, 30241. I am co-pastor Pat McFarland, and I will be your teacher for the day. I have been mandated by God to teach you the word. This program will review, first of all, your Sunday school lesson. We hope to encourage you to attend and participate in your Sunday school class. We also want you to fall in love with the Word of God. Finally, it is our desire that someone would dedicate their life to Jesus Christ, glory to God, and make Jesus their choice. Now, I need you to get your Bible and get ready. It is now time for Sunday school. Good morning. It is time for our Sunday school lesson. Glory to God. We are excited about the Word of God as usual, and we know that you're going to enjoy the lesson today. Pastor.
Amen. Amen. Our topic today is Christian manner of justice. Christian manner of justice. Amen. Just going to be talking about how to deal with people in our work and how to be fair with one another. Now, again, we're going to be coming from Deuteronomy. We got three parts today. We got Deuteronomy 24:14 through 21. We got Ephesians 6:5 through 9. And we got Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19. So we're going to start off at Deuteronomy 24, chapter 14, verse. And it reads, "Thou shall not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, neither he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates." Amen. Oh, praise God.
Well, this lesson is saying, just like Pastor was saying, we're talking about Christian justice. How do we as Christians, how should we as Christians deal with people, glory to God, on our job, on our work site? So this lesson right here, the Deuteronomy, is taking us into what, in the Old Testament, glory to God. And we know that at one time the children of Israel were in captivity. We know that they were what? They were under bondage, under Roman bondage, and they had to work, and they had to work very hard. So the question is, how do you deal, glory to God, with people who are in the workplace? How do you deal with people? We're not in slavery, but this lesson is going to help us to understand, how do we deal with them, glory to God? How do we deal with people, glory to God? We as Christians must portray Christ in everything that we do, on the job, glory to God, in the home, in the community, glory to God. We must display Christian what? Justice, Christian unity, Christian love. So this is what the lesson is really telling us today. How will you react, glory to God, who somebody, maybe if you're the supervisor, how will you react with that subordinate, of that person that's under you? How will you react? How will you treat them, glory to God? Glory to God. Think about it. How will you treat, or how are you treating them, glory to God? Are you treating them fairly? Are you treating them with respect? Are you treating, talking them calmly? Are you screaming and hollering? What are you doing, glory to God? But we as Christians have to do what? Display Jesus Christ in the workplace.
Amen, amen. Every point, there's a generosity in work. Fair payment. Now again, they said, don't oppress them. If a person, you done hired a person, and they've done the job, pay the people.
Well,
Be a Christian. Don't try to beat them out of and work. See, again, as Copas was saying, this is back at, toward the Old Testament, and we had to look at that were different workers. There were slaves, there were bond servants, and there were people that were free, just plain hired out people. So what we're pointing out here, they're talking about, hey, a hired person. You don't hire them to pay. They're poor and they're needy. Now, again, don't take advantage of the person because they really need to work.
And don't cheat them out their wages.
That's right. Fair.
If you promise them, let's say, X amount of dollars an hour, glory to God, and you're supposed to pay them, then pay them, glory to God. Don't say, well, no, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. No, you didn't. No. You pay them for what they've worked, what they've earned, because a lot of times that worker, that money, it's a low income, and but that money, they depend upon that money to buy food for their family. They depend upon that money. So here, at the end of the day, or at the end of the work time, you cheat them out of what of their pay, or you cut their pay. This is not God. We have to be fair, glory to God. If we're the employer. Hallelujah. We have to be fair. If we the supervisor, glory to God, we have to be fair to what the workers that's working under us. We want them, our people to treat us fairly. So come on now. As a Christian, then we must treat other people fairly. We must treat them with respect. Go ahead.
Amen. And still dealing with fair pay. Let's look at that 15th verse. At his day, thou shalt give him his hire. Neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry again thee unto the Lord, and it shall sin unto thee.
In other words, if you don't pay him, glory to God, and he needs this money, let's say he's at the end of the day, let's say at the end of the week, or let's say even if he's working for a monthly wage, he has been dependent upon this money.
That's right.
And if you don't pay him, he's going to cry out to the Lord, Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to take care of my family? I need this money. What am I? And when he cries out to God, Lord, I need your help. I need your mercy. Then God is going to hear him. Hallelujah. And God will respond, and God will what? Repay, hallelujah, that injustice, that unfairness, that evilness that you're doing, glory to God. So it's saying that you need to be fair. It's just kind of reminding us, how do you treat people that's working under you? How do you treat people if you have to set their wages for them? How do you treat them? Do you change the wage at the end of the day? After you promise them at the beginning of the day that they would be making X, Y, Z amount of money? He's saying you got to be fair, because what they can go to God and God will hear them and will answer them, because what you're doing is wicked. If you're trying to cheat them out of their pay, if you're trying to misuse them, then you're what? Then you're wicked, glory to God. And God will repay. So what we want to be lights, glory to God. We want to be examples, glory to God. We want to be good workers, and we want to be good employers, and we want to be good, or whatever we're going to call it, supervisors on the job. Hallelujah. Sometimes people get on the job, they get a big head, and they look down on folks. You know, no. You have to treat workers right, glory to God. Hallelujah. You want people to treat you right, glory to God, then you treat them right.
Amen, amen. Again, while continuing here in generosity in work, we're going to, part B is the individual's responsibility. In verse 16, the father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin.
Oh. Now listen. Accountability. In other words, my father, earthly father, will not be punished for what I've done.
Well.
Hallelujah. And I'm going to be punished for what I do, glory to God. Because God is going to judge and deal with what the individual, glory to God. He's going to look at what we're doing as an individual. I can't stand and sit back there and say and blame my dad for some things that I've done, glory to God. Oh, I've said, glory to God. Well, you know, he used to do this and he used to do that. No. It's what are you doing? Are you living according to the word? Are you following after God? Hallelujah. Are you being obedient to his word? You see what I'm saying? You cannot blame other people for what you're doing, because you can go to God and you can repent and hallelujah, you can learn the word of God and you can be convicted by the Holy Spirit. You know when you're doing wrong. So guess what? Guess what? You want to do the right thing, because we have to, but we have to stand up for what we've done. When we commit a sin, we have to go to God and repent for what we've done. I can't get on my knees and blame God. Oh, but this person did this, and mother did this, and that. But no, no, no. What have you done? Have you walked contrary to the word of God? Are you obedient to the word of God? If not, I need you to know, glory God, that God will deal with you as an individual, will deal with me as an individual. That's what the scripture is saying, glory God.
Amen, amen. Praise God. And then let's look at part C. Remember past justice. And still under generosity and work. Remember past justice. Verse 17. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's rammer for a pledge. Amen. Again, we don't be taking something on somebody else. Right? It's a, don't pervert it. Don't change judgment. Don't turn it around to the point that you've taken something for somebody that's the stranger. You deal with the individual. Amen. Because that's what you did. The fatherless. Don't take advantage of them. Amen. Praise God.
You know, if you deal with people, all people are saying, you try to deal with them fairly on the job. Uh-huh. They were saying about taking about a woman's garment. Let's use an example. If this person owe you some money and you take her clothes, or you take something that she needs or something that he needs, what you're doing, you're punishing them. Well, God, you're taking something that they need, something that they need to work with. You're taking their tools. You're taking this. Well, I'm going to take this because you didn't do this. And I want to take that because you broke this. See what I'm saying? You don't do that, because what you have to do, you want to do fairly. Because on the job when you're working, sometimes tools will break. You're not doing it on purpose because that tool broke. You shouldn't just say, well, I'm going to punish you. Okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take this out of your toolkit. I'm going to do this. Now they're not able to do the job. You see, so what you're doing is you're causing unnecessary stress, unnecessary problem. You're not treating that worker right. You're not treating that stranger right. You're not treating that person right. You have to be fair. You have to understand that when you are a worker, Lord God, sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes you may have broken something. Sometimes maybe you didn't handle something right and it didn't work. You don't have to punish them like that by taking things from them, glory to God. You just try to show them the right way to use that tool. Show them the right way how to handle certain things. Be patient with them as they learn the job. Some people become so impatient when they become the supervisor. But when you were the worker, how did your employer treat you? Did he bang you upside the head or try to curse you out and all that? No, 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 no. You want to treat them with kindness, with loving kindness, because not only that, you are demonstrating Christ, because they're talking to you as a believer. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, if you are the supervisor on the job, you're going to still demand excellence. You're still going to try to show them the right way, but you're going to teach them. You're going to be patient and you're going to teach them how to do the job. And they too can learn the job. And they too can one day move up and become a supervisor. But you've taught them several things. You've taught them how to work with an employee. You've taught them patience. You've taught them that it's something different about you. They begin to see the love of God in you. And then you're helping them to become a better employee.
Amen, amen. Remembering past justice, verse 18, it said, but thou shalt remember that thou was a bondsman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee hence. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. He's taking them all the way back
to Egypt.
All the way. You remember when you were in slavery? You remember how they treated you and how they mistreated you? You got to understand sometimes you didn't like that, glory God. So if you didn't like that and God delivered you from it, glory God, God delivered the children of Israel out of what? Out of bondage. He sent Moses to bring them out of what? Captivity, glory God. He delivered them, glory God. Let me tell you this. That God is able to deliver that abused worker. He's able to bring them to freedom. He's able to even promote them. He can even come around and promote them above you, glory to God. And so how would you want this person that you mistreated to treat you because you know how you treated them, glory to God? But if this person has been born again, they're going to treat you with the love of God. They're going to treat you with kindness. So you need to understand that you need to let your light shine. Don't become power drunk. Some people become power drunk, Pastor, on the job. Become powerful. They got to change the way they talk. They got to talk down the people. This is not God. We have to what? We have to demonstrate Christ in our living, on our job, in our community, wherever we are. We want to be an example. We want to be a light. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's move to part D. Part D says, leave some for the poor.
Well,
at verse 19, leave some for the poor. It said, when thou cutteth down thine harvest in thy field, and have forgot a sheep of the field, thou shalt not go again to feast it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widows, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all thy work of thine hand. Oh, glory to God.
I remember when you were reading that, I started reflecting on the book of Ruth. I remember when Ruth went with Naomi back to her homeland, glory to God. Remember, she left everything. She left her family, everything behind, because she fell in love with what the God of Ruth. She fell in love with God. Hallelujah. And she wanted that God to be her God. Naomi's people to be her people, and she decided to follow all the way. And one of the things that happened, she was working in the field to get food for she and Naomi, for she and both she and Naomi. And what happened, how she was getting the food, she was going into the field, and they would leave. And sometimes the people in the field, the workers in the field, would leave a few things behind, glory to God. And the poor would be able to go and pick up some of the wheat and pick up some of the things that were left behind, glory to God, so that they could eat up. So this scripture is saying that if you have, let's say grapes, or you have plums or whatever, and you have something that, and you have a few things left over, you don't have to take everything, glory to God, because there's some poor among you, and they may be hungry. You can leave a few things, because God has given you plenty. So why not leave a few things? And that's what happened with Ruth. She was able to get some things, and then she wound up in the Boaz field. That's another story, but bottom line is she started getting things from the leftovers that was left behind, because that was what happened. Do you share? Do you try to take everything? If you were a farmer and you were planting, let's say a crop, you were planting potatoes or whatever, do you have to take all of the potatoes when you know that somebody that's in the area that's hungry, maybe don't have potatoes, glory to God? Couldn't you leave some behind so they could come back and take it for them to eat on? So just think about that. You're helping what the poor. You have to be considerate sometimes of others. You don't have to take everything. You can leave some things behind for others.
Amen. Praise God. And we'll continue. Like I said, leave some for the poor. Verse 20 and 21. When thy beateth thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the bar again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widows. When thou gathereth the grapes of the vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow.
See, that's compassion. It's saying the same thing. That's compassion. If you have a feel and you have some things and you're getting things out of the field, and you know there's a poor among you, there's hungry, a hunger among you, why can't you leave a few things behind? You don't have to go back and say, well, let me get back and I left a few things. Let me go get a few things. No, you can leave those things for the people in the community, for the fatherless, Lord God, for those people that's hungry, the children, Lord, that's hungry. And you can leave those things. What you're showing is Christian love, Lord God. Or sometimes you can tell them. You can come in the field and glean, Lord God. Because we're probably going to leave some things behind. But you can come in the field and you can glean. You can get whatever you want. There's not going to be any problem. Nobody's going to punish you. Nobody's going to call the police. Nobody's going to do anything. You can have whatever we leave behind, Lord God. So what you're teaching them, well, I don't want you to go before us. I want you to go behind us. And you can have what we leave behind. Because they're going to leave some things behind for you. Glory to God. Look at the love right there. They're saying to that neighborhood, they're saying to the people that you can have some of this. Because again, the love of God, they're sharing, they're caring, they're demonstrating the love of God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, and doing that, you know, that they point out, hey, how we should take care of those, hey, the fatherless, strangers, you know, the widow, those are people that may not be able to be able to, of a stranger done come into a land, he may not be able to get and got a job and be able to do and work. The fatherless, hey, might be his children. And the widow, guess what? She may not be able to, but always think of them, because guess what? The Lord said, he's going to bless you for doing so. He's going to bless you. Amen. Praise God. Now, we're going to be moving into part two now, and that is mutual respect in work. And that's going to be coming from Ephesians. Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. And we're going to, and basically, we're going to start with that fifth verse of Ephesians 6 and 5. And it says, obey as unto the Lord. Obey as unto the Lord. Amen. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Come on in.
Okay, be obedient. In other words, let's you see, when you looking at that word service, you sort of are closing your mind. If you are a worker on the job and you have a supervisor, be obedient. Follow the rules, glory to God. That's what they say. You know, so back in the old time, back in that time in the Bible, you know, you talk about servants, you had slaves, well, we don't have all that today, but we have what? We have persons who are in charge. We have supervisors who have to be in charge of the workers on the floor. So if they are directing you, you're gonna be obedient. No, I'm gonna do it this way. No, he's telling you to do it another way. You're gonna follow the rules. You're gonna be obedient, because again, if you are a Christian worker, then you're going to understand that you are going to be obedient, because you are demonstrating Christ in your work. You're demonstrating love of God in your work, Lord God. And you're demonstrating that you're going to follow the rules. It's not your own thing, Lord God. It's the way that the things are to be done, and you're to follow what the orders or the instructions of the leader. Okay?
Amen. Praise God. Now, remember, this is mutual respect in work. But mutual respect in work.
So that's right. So you're also talking about what? The leader.
That's right.
You know, he does not have to holler and scream. Have you ever been on a job where the employer would holler and scream and try to humiliate people? Wow, I hope you haven't been. But that's not appropriate. That's not God. Again, you can give instructions with in calmness, in peacefulness, demonstrating. Sometimes you may give them a verbal instructions and they may not understand the verbal instructions. Why can't you demonstrate how it should be done? It's okay to demonstrate how you want things done, glory to God. And guess what? You're helping the worker. Hallelujah. And you're showing love and kindness. See, the supervisor can show love and kindness. Not only the supervisor, but the worker must show love and kindness. So there'll be peacefulness on the job. The job can be done. Instead of, I'm going to get him, or I don't like the way he's talking. They start arguing on the job. No, somebody going to be terminated.
Go, Pastor. let me look at the read that B part of that verse to kind of bring that out.
Okay.
With fear and trembling and singly of heart, of your heart, as unto Christ. Now again, that mutual respect, like they may not treat you respect. But guess what? With that, they said the singleness of your heart unto Christ. You're not going to get rowdy. You're not going to go to cussing and fussing. You're just going to, hey, go ahead and take it, you know, basically to the point of, hey, unto Christ. Now, I'm going to keep my peace. He should respect me, but I'm going to go ahead and maintain it. You see, that's, he said, with the heart of unto you, unto Christ. So let's make sure that we get that straight now. He don't respect me. I ain't gonna respect him. No. It's mutual. But you coming from, hey, from the heart of Christ, what Christ said you should be. Well, you can't, Pastor, control him.
Well, Pastor, I've been the worker. I've had supervisors over me, glory to God. And guess what? Because of the peacefulness, because of the Holy Ghost, because of God in me, glory to God. They showed me what calmness. They showed me loving kindness, glory to God. Because I was demonstrating the loving kindness, glory to God. I've had some supervisors that got rowdy, glory to God. I maintained my peace. And guess what? They calmed down, glory to God. See what I'm saying is, you can be the instrument, glory to God, on the job. So if the boss is what, not in God or not walking in Christ, glory to God, he or she may be rowdy. But you stay calm, and guess what? That's going to tone them down. You helping them. And before you know it, they're not going to approach you that way. Because again, you can win them by your love, by your peace, by your demonstration of who you are, glory to God, and your work ethics, glory to God, in your being on time and being consistent to what you have to do, glory to God. See, you can win others. You can even win your supervisor if he or she's ungodly. Hallelujah. I don't know how to talk to people. Glory to God. You talk right. You do the right thing. You stay calm. You may have to go into prayer. Glory to God. But you want to what? You want to do the right thing. Glory to God. Because you want to demonstrate who you really are. You don't have, now wait a minute. Let me tell you something. No. You'll be off the job. And you need your job. You Amen. Need to take care of your family. So you have to what? You maintain your peace. And guess what? You can win them by your love.
Amen. Now we'll continue now. In mutual respect in work. That's two-way street.
Right.
Let's look at verse 6 and 7. It says, not with eye service as man pleases, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to man. Lord, not to man. You see, that's the key that we're looking at right there. It's mutual respect. Mm-hmm. It's mutual respect. Unto men. Again, not no eye vision, not no eyesight. See, sometimes people they looking at you, want you to see them, but they different when you leave. I've been that worker, and I've also had people that work for me in the same way. You know, we got to do it under Christ, being honest and fair.
That's
praise
it,
God.
That's it.
And then let's look at part B of that mutual respect. It says, rewards for obedience.
Wow.
That's verse 8. Knowing that whosoever good things any man.
Hello, this is Pastor Arthur J. McCall saying, I know you have enjoyed that word coming from co-pastor Patricia McCall. We are asking you to be a partner in this ministry, to help us get the word out to our hurting world. We need your financial support. You can contact us by writing to Applying the Word Ministries, P.O. Box 1075, LaGrange, Georgia, 30241. You can also reach us at our website at www.applyingtheword.com. sundayschool-ga.org. Or you can email the Sunday School Teacher at sundayschoolteacher111@gmail.com. Until next time, may God bless you and may God keep you.